hello listeners, and I want to say a very special hello to the ladies. I'm DJ Corey, keeping it real with my new, very deep, very masculine voice.
DJ Corey, you sound ill. Do you have some sort of throat-based STD?
I thought he just got throat plastic surgery to make his voice more Barry White-ish.
If I'm ill, the illness I have is love, because...
Yeah, something's different about his Adam's apple. Is that intentional?
I am 510% more sextastic than ever with my new deep, very... I can actually sing Caribbean Caribbean songs like... who's that guy?
Louis Farrakhan.
Harry Belafonte.
Harry Belafonte. Or is it Harry Belafonte Jr.? Are there two? I mean, like...
No, there's Harry Belafonte Sherry. And Sherry Belafonte.
I feel like I've got a little Sherry me.
I would and the wacky cousin Larry Belafonte.
I mean, like that. How does that song go? Like, hey, Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana. I can do that now. I'd like to thank all of our listeners for joining us, and I would like to welcome our very, 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 very special guest tonight. Thrustmore Sextacula.
Or just Lady Thrustmore to you and me.
Lady Thrustmore, who's here under a nom de plume because she doesn't want her identity to be revealed. You're an assistant manager at the Deck the Walls at the Monroeville Mall. But
we're not supposed to say that on the air.
Oh. Okay.
Deck the Walls at the Century 3 Mall.
Okay.
We're delighted to have you. Tonight's topic is going to be art, modern art,
sex,
erotica. Something about. I heard in the pre-interview you were like lubing up a yam.
Well, Vaseline is definitely involved.
That part of your personal hygiene process, or was that something having to do with modern art? I wasn't sure.
That would be something to do with art.
Oh, okay.
Well, she'll be revealing the yam later tonight.
Yes.
Yes.
Wait, am I supposed to interpret that literally?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I am a girl.
Our alienometer has determined that we're alienating 87% of our audience already, so I think we should just thrust right into it.
Does our alienometer even go below 60?
I'm just going to go back into like a dextromethorphan-induced haze and let the rest of you take the show from here. So, hit it.
Well, why don't we start from the beginning, right?
It's a very good place to start.
Sex and art have gone together like Tweedledee and Tweedledum.
Now, actually, I beg to differ. I mean, sex and art go together like, you know, oil and water, like fire and ice, like the planet Pluto and the Earth's or the Sun's fiery core.
Regis and Kathy Lee.
I mean, come on. Like, you know, sex is about like, you know, your primal passions and the most, you know, the most real kind of communication two people can have is by sexual intercourse. And art is so, I find art devoid, you know, art is just...
Desiccated?
Actually, I think art is more about masturbation and sex is more about intercourse.
Well, I'm not sure that a fully licensed and bonded representative of Deck the Walls would agree with you, Lady Thrustmore.
No, I would have to disagree, as a matter of fact.
All right.
You think that the Greek and Roman statues of nubile young men were about anything but sex?
They're small penises,
yeah,
big hands.
Small penises, yeah.
Wait, if they're about sex, wouldn't they have given them large penises?
No. In fact, because the romantic ideal was like boyish young men.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember what character it is on.
The
Different Strokes?
No, the Pittsburgh-based Queer as Folk. The young boy on Queer as Folk would be closer to the model of...
Oh, okay. The young, innocent ingenue?
Yes.
In the classics courses I took as an undergrad, like, we saw pictures of, like, the vases you'd never see at the museums. Like, the man having anal sex with the little boys and, mm-hmm. you know, the erections.
A lot of bestiality as well.
Yep, a lot of bestiality.
Certainly.
What kind of beasts?
Satyrs.
Good old
buffalo.
I don't know.
Buffalo.
They had to import them specially.
Yeah, some sort of four-legged cloven-hoofed animal.
Do they get to like, you know, squids and sea anemones or?
No, I don't think marine life.
That would be the Minoan, Crete Minoan.
Yeah.
What class was this where you got to see all
snakes,
like, the
snakes,
pedophile urns?
Oh, it was in an art history
class. Any art history class, anywhere. Yeah.
They're basically, they're in collections, but they're just not shown in museums because people would be outraged.
You know, all the little whiny, I mean, it's so funny, I'm so depressed now because all the freaks that told me that I should take art history in college rather than computer science. And I said, you know.
Perhaps they were right.
They were totally honest.
It's certainly where all the gay hotties were.
I would have been eating that up like the salad bar at Woolies.
Is that known for like its young boy erotic quality.
Yeah, all I can say is yum.
that's just the NyQuil talking. Just keep going.
But not to pop things back up to a theoretical discussion, but a concept has been introduced in discussion here. The tension between sort of the formal structure of art versus the sort of informal, primal, almost animal mm-hmm. impulse of sex, right? And mm-hmm. hasn't that been – that must be played out over and over again in many cultures and many different planets.
Oh, definitely. If you look at early 20th century art in terms of movements like surrealism, even abstract expressionism in the United States, it was all about primal urges. Jackson Pollock swinging a can of paint, dribbling over the canvas has often been compared to ejaculation.
Let's hold on to that. Let's go back to surreal. So, like, mm-hmm. surrealists, for our listeners who don't remember, is stuff like Salvador Dali. Mm-hmm. When art ceased representing.
They don't teach that in the prison, like.
Are only listeners prisoners and ex-cons?
That's right.
By the way, if any of you have are allowed one phone call tonight, why don't you give us a call here at Sex Talk? Our number is 421-WRCT. That's 412-9728.
How do we manage to keep forgetting to?
Sorry, 621.
I'm sorry.
One of these days we're actually going to give the phone number, and no one else is going to be talking, and no one else is going to like screw it up. So
it's not going to be today.
412-621-9728.
Or 89728 if you're on Carnegie Mellon.
You're making me hot.
But so when people think of surrealism, they probably think of those posters that every other 19-year-old college student has on their
melting
wall.
Clocks.
Like melting clocks. Yeah. Like,
like those noggle paintings that everyone has, like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's not surreal.
It's not quite noggle. The same thing.
Noggle.
Like
very graphic, black and white, figurative, horrific. I can't even explain.
What, noggle?
Yeah. I mean, not horrific in their subject matter, but in their lack of
You've
quality.
Seen them, Lance. Like, they're everywhere. Like,
yeah, I know. The super stylized hot chicks.
Yes,
right.
Yes,
and
yes, 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 yes.
Are they melting, in that painting? Because that might make you surreal.
Only in their brains. I don't know.
But so let's go back to the melting clocks, right? Is that supposed to be some sort of, like, is that a limp penis, or is that some symbolism?
Some people could read that in there. Surrealism being primarily motivated by an interest in Freud and dreams. Obviously, you can see that that's ripe with sexual potential.
Currently not, she's not making the statement that every surrealist piece of art made.
Yes, I am.
Really? Had to do with sex?
Pretty much. Huh. Well, if we look to Picasso as our master, he said that art is the same thing as sex. So one could make the claim.
If art were the same thing with sex, wouldn't lots more people be artists?
Most people are artists.
Ooh. You're making one controversial statement after another. We cannot let these go.
I'm a very highly educated Deck the Walls employee.
Is this all just propaganda to move more product through the halls of Deck
yes,
the Walls?
Yes, in fact, it is. In fact, surrealist posters are very hot sellers, especially during the early part of the semester.
I mean, doesn't it just bother you? I mean, I'm sure, actually, I used to play classical piano at the mall every Christmas time. And, I would just want to, go in my own little dream reverie, play a little Rachmaninoff or something, something nice. And then people would come up and say, oh, could you play, Somewhere My Love or mm-hmm. New York, New York. And it's got to kill you in the same way. Like, people, you want to come in and talk about surrealism, and people just want, the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer toilet paper holder.
Yeah.
Well, and, Escher prints.
Mostly people want framed Monet and, the water lilies are very popular.
Are those all about sex?
Maybe. They're about water.
I don't ask me to make a bound.
No, I don't think so. I would not make that statement.
Are they just about being pretty?
Pretty much.
Pretty much.
Pretty much. They're about light.
About a very personal view of the world.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Non-photorealistic representation.
But they're not about sex.
No.
So
every other woman that's come on the show has, taken off her clothes. Are you enough of an artist to do the same?
I am not an artist.
No.
She's an assistant manager.
I'm an enthusiast. Merely an enthusiast.
Interesting.
I can speak of many people taking off their clothes, but I will not.
Let's go back
myself.
To these teenage Roman. Was there some
right?
Greeks.
Yep, Greeks.
Greeks. Greeks. Yes.
Well, the Romans, they like their little boys too. But
yeah.
Well, Greeks especially.
Standards, both culturally, sexually, and artistically, were different back then.
Mm-hmm.
Or so I've heard.
If we would compare them to, say, the photographs of Robert Mapplethorpe of the current day, which were certainly more buff, chiseled examples of manhood.
Well, yeah, the gay male aesthetic is extremely different now than it was 2000 years ago.
Mapplethorpe was more of sort of like a sleek you know, sleek, modest bodybuilder image instead of the 12-year-old swim team member image that seemed to be popular in Greece, right?
Yes, most of the time, although he has also been known to photograph young men without their pants.
Did they have shirts and shoes? Was it just the pants?
No. In fact, those were some of the photographs that got him into such hot water in the early 90s. Yeah. With the NEA and various...
Really, I thought it was almost entirely like the S&M stuff, like the whips up the butts.
No, people were also concerned about the kind of pedophilic implications of some of the photography.
So we should stop and add a little footnote that we're talking about Robert Mapplethorpe, who's a very famous photographer and who became notable because of severe controversy involving... Was there any NEA funding involved, or was it all museum-related?
Well, the biggest controversy was an exhibition that was canceled at the Corcoran Gallery of Art, which was right next to the White House. So it was mostly congressional kind of backlash against these images of bondage, but also just purely male nude bodies.
And many of you have seen these photos. They tend to be very stark, they're black and white. Very, like, strong images, often focusing on sort of close-ups of the male form.
Although long before this controversy, he was famous for his portraiture of flowers and Japanese flower arranging. In fact, the original like archetypal little old lady who got offended at his paintings, like, really did exist. Like, somewhere, where is it? St. Louis?
Cincinnati. There's been a movie recently.
Right, was actually angry at the flower pictures because she thought they were so vaginal. So it wasn't even that she was upset at seeing, like, men being suffocated with whips.
She didn't mind
their
bull up in the ass, but
there weren't any, is the thing. It was pictures of flowers. That was if you hadn't talked over me, that was what I was saying.
But some of his famous images, obviously, have been brought up, the bull whip up the ass, the man clothed in a suit with his penis coming out the fly.
I mean, not to get unsexy, but charges of racism have been made against him too, because his pictures often are like black men and their big penises in these very kind of animalistic sexual poses.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You're supposed to run with that, not leave me hanging here.
Well, I think
the DXM has taken that one away, baby. Yeah. I'm in my own little world.
Speaking as an arts professional, I would have to say that in response to those kinds of concerns, really, I think that his work can be seen in a tradition of formal portraiture and formal interest in the body and the human form that goes all the way back to Michelangelo, that goes all the way back to the beginning of time, and the fact that he was a gay man was one of the reasons that it became so controversial. Figures of the nude form have not been controversial since the beginning of the century, for the most part. But when you have a sort of subtext of some alternative culture or alternative lifestyle embedded into it, all of a sudden something that is not seen as insidious.
Well, so let me ask you a question then. What differentiates his study of the human form from that of, say, Barely Legal or Black Tail?
Or Cammy's 19th birthday gangbang.
That's right.
So that was a different medium. That was video and that's still photography.
Well, I could point to aspects of lighting and the sculptural treatment of the form, but of course those are things that many famous pornographic photographers are also very skilled at.
Can you name names?
No.
Because and you can't name names because those are not artists you carry at Deck the Walls?
No, we do not. with our position in the mall, we have to be very careful. In fact, we are only allowed to carry the calla lily and flowered Mapplethorpe images, not, in fact, the bullwhip images.
Okay, fair enough. No, but seriously, like, what distinguishes extremely well-done static pornography from, say, like a Mapplethorpe?
Well, I could simply say penetration, but that probably isn't the answer, since there are artists who also make images that are graphic, such as that. I think it goes to the question of what art is, which... is a very large question that we can't possibly answer here, but
exactly.
Intent would have a lot to do with it, I would say. Okay. If you say you're an artist, you're an artist.
So I wasn't speaking about actual sort of penetrative pornography. Mm-hmm. I was speaking more like what do you see in like Playboy or whatever. Mm-hmm. But the intent argument is an interesting one because then you could say that like, you know, if the Playboy's regular photographer was having some sort of epileptic seizure and thought he were an artist for like 3 of the 10 pictures he was taking, does that mean that counts as art?
Sure, it may not count as good art, right? Like, you're asking, oh, can we call this art, being the implication that all art is equal, which is just not true.
Well, Playboy is known as the most artistic of all of the men's magazines. Is that not correct?
Listeners, I thought
that was perfect 10.
What would differentiate good art? I mean, like, because Mapplethorpe is probably considered by lots of people to be good art, right?
Many, although I don't really consider it good art, so.
Okay. So can you name an... I apologize. We're having minor technical problems. Can you name someone who photographs naked people as good art?
No. Not as such with that question. I think... sorry. I'm confused by all the pointing and waving.
Sorry, we're just trying to get the levels adjusted.
Oh, I thought it was the squirrel that got into the studio.
No.
It's a raccoon.
Squirrel. Yeah. It's a really difficult question that has haunted people from because the idea of what constitutes good in these cases is something that is based around institutional support and based around kind of an artist getting someone to believe that what they're doing is a serious enterprise. Well, so there are, in fact, people like Annie Sprinkle, who was a porn star, who decided that she was going to invert what she was doing and couch it in feminist kind of politics and turn herself into an artist, and she did and is considered an artist through her porn activities.
Annie Springfield?
Annie Sprinkle.
I want to get Annie Sprinkle in a second, but just to phrase a little scenario, surely at Deck the Walls you must deal with this where grandmothers must walk in and say, I want art of nude people for my child's dorm room.
Masturbation party.
But it's got to be good art. I just don't want pornography, right? So there you go.
It is a valid question. I'm afraid I'm ill-equipped to answer it, however.
Well, you know, when we were talking about this earlier, you made the good point that that a lot of what we'd consider to be art with sexual content is not sexual at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true. Most art that deals with sex as a subject is actually not sexy in any way.
Right, it's supposed to be.
It's not sexy to talk about. It's not sexy to watch. It's not sexy to experience. And because most of the time when sex is being used in contemporary art practice, it's being used for political or some kind of critical reason. Whereas images that are purely beautiful forms are really the only kinds of artistic images that I can see being viewed as sexy.
See, Thrustula, you hit on an excellent point. Just 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, I did an incredible multimedia performance art piece right here in the studio. Invited a professional stripper in. Mm-hmm. She got naked. She rubbed the microphone on her vagina. And she assumed...
And was it sexy?
She assumed the...
It was your microphone, by the way. I'm kidding.
She assumed the... Well, we don't know.
Yeah, we don't know.
And I got the smackdown from my co-host. I got the smackdown from the station management. Everybody was, like, crawling up my ass. And
you did get that congratulatory letter from Dick Cheney.
Well,
that could have been Dick Cheney's, like, robotic replacement, though. We're not sure if it's the actual...
And so, you know... Was that art? I mean, I know you weren't there. I didn't see it, but we could describe it for you a little bit more if you like. Mm-hmm. Was it art? And will my
your legacy
ever
be respected?
Exactly.
Yeah. We'll. It's hard to say. I would say yes, it is art in the broadest terms. Mm. Indeed, whether it's art that will be recognized in its time for its brilliance, I cannot say.
I think there's an issue. Yeah, there's an issue in intent here too. Mm-hmm. Now, was like Frankie the Stripper's intent to create a scathing attack on contemporary mores and
it's
the
not,
sad, unmicrophoned state of most women's
it's
vaginas.
It's not her intent. It's DJ Corey using her as his instrument. It's his intent that's the key.
Oh, intriguing. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, just because it's art doesn't mean it's, you know, socially acceptable. I mean, isn't there art that just features people masturbating for weeks at a time, essentially?
Yes, yes. As a matter of fact, there is. There's a landmark example of said activity. An artist named Vito Acconci, who's actually a very well-respected performance artist, did a performance called Seedbed where he sat under a ramp, ramped floor in a gallery, and masturbated for 3 weeks while the gallery goers came into this empty space. And he had a microphone down there where he would project his fantasies into the space and speak at them and confront them.
As he was yanking away?
As he was yanking
away.
Do you have
any...
Nearly continuously, which I don't know how that's possible.
Pardon me, but do you have any, quote, hard numbers? Like, did he ejaculate? Did he, like, take breaks?
I'm sure he ejaculated.
Or was he just, like, going at it 8 hours a day?
I'm sure he ejaculated many times.
But the thing is, if you're a guy and, like, you ejaculate and a new, like, bunch of gallery viewers come in, you are SOL, man.
Right,
you know, there's just nothing you can do.
Unless, of course, you're our friend Jason, who seems to have the refractory period of a 12-year-old.
Yes.
Yeah, amazingly, they don't write about those particular statistics when they talk about this performance.
It's really less a foreign experience team, I think, because like, all you have to do is like tune to almost any professional webcam, and there are guys whose job it is all day to like slowly, you know, rub their penis for the camera, and so mm-hmm. we can get plenty of statistics. And indeed, what they do is they like. They don't do a lot of ejaculating, qua mm-hmm. ejaculating. They just do a lot of.
They save it.
They
hold
save it,
in. It.
They do a lot of penis kneading.
Extending.
Wait,
kneading? I've so been there.
Tantric?
Is there some advanced sex technique you can share with our listeners?
Well, yeah, I think this is an excellent time to talk about milking, which I've just learned about recently.
Indeed.
On the internet.
Prostate milking, you mean?
Yes, of course.
I feel like we should have some wacky like circus music playing over the prostate
milking. Don't give our producer any ideas. And do we really want to get into prostate milking now? Aren't we going to dedicate an entire month series of shows to that?
I guess you're probably I'm hereby dedicating December to be the prostate milking and male chastity device month.
Awareness month? Or
what about the diaper pail friends? Aren't they? Didn't we already promise them December?
We'll give them part of December and part of January.
Well, no, they make their own sauce, as it were. So okay. I think that'll keep them warm.
Indeed, at least the lower half.
We just killed that invite. You're not supposed to mock the guests until after they've been on.
I'm not a host. You can blame it on me.
We've already got, you know.
Nobody listens to us. It's okay.
Clearly.
Anyway.
We've got the Deck the Walls senior management drafting a letter to the station right now.
So, you're talking about Vito Acconci yanking it.
Yes.
Generation of Americans have respected the Deck the Walls brand.
You don't think we'll get free art out of this somehow for mentioning them? Isn't that what usually happens when you mention a company on the air?
And this is a good example of like art that clearly had a big sexual content, right? A man was jerking the gherkin underneath your feet for 3 weeks, but yet was like totally unsexy.
For him, I think it was sexy.
Well, he had to at least pretend it was sexy, or else it wouldn't have worked, right?
I've tried. Like, I've thought, I've told myself, like, today is going to be the day that I'm going to try to masturbate, like, 5 times in a row just to say that I've done it. And after, like, you know, the second ejaculation, the idea gets really old, like, alarmingly fast. I don't know if, like, 3 weeks of, like, you know, tossing the salad for a bunch of, like, you know, pasty art freaks would really...
That's why you're not an artist.
Yeah.
You see, he wasn't driven by short-sighted personal needs. He wasn't driven by short-sighted personal needs. He was driven by an ideology, by art.
Yes. Although I do think it was difficult because lubrication technologies were probably far less advanced.
Interesting. And there's no Viagra to keep them going. Mm.
So I'm sure it was quite a challenge. Perhaps it would be an easier task if someone would like to take on the challenge of recreating this installation.
And there were no advanced sport drink technology to keep them hydrated.
No, no Red Bull.
Well, I think we should have a collaboration with the guys at Sportsline for this, for this art piece.
You know, they can beat us up if they want. So.
That's what I'm counting on.
They're not in the
building
anymore.
Let's not piss them off. Yeah. They do a good show. Back to masturbating.
Yes.
Did this spark a wave of masturbation-related art?
Well, it was really part of a movement called, referred to as performance art and also body art, where artists began to use their body, most often naked, as the instrument of their craft. And there were many, many artists, men and women.
So when was this piece?
This was in 1972.
Okay, so this was still pretty early. Like this was...
Yes. Performance art really kind of gestated in the late 60s, early 70s. So other people like Carolee Schneeman, who's a famous feminist performer, various performances of hers, including Meet Joy, which was, in fact, what appeared to be a large orgy of 20 to 30 naked people riding around on stage with raw chicken, sausage, and beef. And, of course, to some people this could be sexy, but I think she had a different intent behind it.
What was the intent, like up with meat?
intent was just dinner time.
Dinner time.
Potluck.
Yeah. One could suspect that the intent was feminist in nature, perhaps making a commentary on women as objects, women as hot meat.
Were people allowed to snack during the performance? Or
in the audience? Not the raw meat, I think.
No, I meant the
performers. Maybe did they have a barbecue afterwards, perhaps use up the props?
Yes, they did.
Buy a chili dog that's been smeared on the artist, $50.
Yeah. Heavily marinated, so I think the meat was quite tender.
Has anyone had their prostate
speaking of making their own sauce, what?
Corey seems to be...
Talking about...
Come.
All right.
Did you do it for art or just because you're ill?
Yeah, it's performance in the corner.
Yeah, I'm actually, you know, I'm...
Hopped up on goofballs.
I am. I think if I, like... Maybe I want to, like, suppress, like, my coughing reflex so that, like, all my phlegm, like, stagnates in my lungs, and then I can, like, spit it onto a canvas.
And, that's brilliant.
Well, it reminds me of...
We have a slot in April open for a solo show, if
really?
You'd like to.
All right, you know, genius ideas just roll off the top of my head every day. I'm a fount of...
Do you have an agent?
We'll talk after the show. Okay.
Actually, your phlegm canvas reminds me of another artist, like Pittsburgh's own Andy Warhol. Like Andy Warhol, like he did all these urine paintings,
mm-hmm.
Where he would chemically treat, I think it was metal?
Yes, and then, oxidation and rust.
Right, and then pee on it, and it'll have the urine to cure it or to rust it.
Indeed.
And that was or was not sexy?
Well, no, clearly there was a sexual content, right, like the idea of him. A gay man, openly gay man, like urinating on these pieces of metal, then hanging it in his studio.
Mm-hmm.
But not sexy. I don't. Well, I'm maybe
perhaps
there are
to 10% of the population.
Perhaps.
Perhaps.
Can any of those things be seen at the moment?
Yep.
Yes. As a matter of fact.
Many
just
of them.
Because you're gay doesn't mean you like to be peed on.
I'm not
sure
saying
helps.
That.
Well, she's not. Yeah, she's not saying that. You just assumed that the 10%.
Actually, he claimed that when I said, right. When I asked if they were sexy, he said, inevitably, a gay man peeing on something is a sexual content.
No, I did not say that, but.
We'll play the tape back.
Okay.
You like went from gay artist peeing on a piece of metal to sexual. You made some kind of conceptual leap there. That
yes, it's
there.
The whole,
is this
it's the whole
sex
idea.
Sex show?
hello, work with me. Yeah, that's also it's the idea of the you know the personal being political, right? Like especially in Andy Warhol's time, it was impossible to be an out gay man and not have that be a big political act in and of itself.
Indeed.
Political, but sexual. I still.
Fine. This is no longer sex talk. This will be absolutely unexciting talk. No, there is no sex content in his art. You win.
That would actually be a pretty good name for a show. Absolutely unexciting talk.
For this show?
I think that would be fine.
Speaking of pornography,
yes,
there's some other crossover artists in this vein. Jeff Koons probably being the most well-known. He, in fact, did marry a porn star, Cicciolina, and made her the subject of his work, made their sexual life the subject of his work.
But not in a conventional, well-photographed naked woman, you know, riding a giant dildo sense, right?
No. actually, pictures of their own conjugal bliss together. So I guess that would be, in a sense, the same kind of pornographic
conjugal
images
bliss.
Of which you speak, yes.
You can call it banging.
Okay. I'm sorry, I was warned about foul language.
No, I mean, actually, you know, our circumlocutions to avoid FCC, the FCC boogeyman, often provide some of those entertaining moments in the show. But
yes.
There must have been more than that, right? He didn't just photograph them.
Well, he made sculptures of them getting it on.
Okay.
He photographed them, made a video as well of them getting it on. He liked to get it on with Cicciolina.
Well,
as did hundreds of other men.
As right. Is his conjugal right. That's right. You know, that's her
husband,
right?
Indeed.
But really, it was just all about them having sex?
For a period of time. I mean, he's famous for many different kinds of artworks, sculptures of Michael Jackson in bubbles, sculptures
his monkey,
of...
Speaking of sex.
Wait, Michael Jackson having sex, or...?
No, not having sex.
Jesus.
In fact, they were embracing. Perhaps the subtext is there, certainly.
Who's embracing?
Michael Jackson in bubbles.
Yes.
The chin.
Oh.
Yes.
Wow.
I think
was
there, was a, there was a gleam in Michael's eye, certainly.
There's always a gleam in his eye. That's part of what makes him such a
king of pop.
Global superstar.
And in Bubble's eyes as well, I think. Yes.
Well, he's a monkey. What do you want?
They're always thinking about it.
Well, so again, like I'm curious. Have you seen any of the videos? Any of the?
I haven't seen the video. I've seen some photographs of said work.
Okay. And is she really hot?
She's pretty hot. She's very buxom. Yes, indeed. Cicciolina, actually, Cicci...
Little fleshy one.
Yeah,
in
little
Italian.
Fleshy one in Italian. So she certainly is a curvaceous.
Well, that sounds more like a penis euphemism than a female.
Cicciolina?
No, little fleshy one.
Oh, little fleshy one. Yeah. And actually, this sort of pseudo pornographic, quasi pornographic work got him kicked out of the art world.
Really?
It really sort
is there
of
an official,
fell out
like,
of favor.
Was there some secret council that met and like, was
yes.
This Koons must go?
Yes. And it wasn't until he installed the giant topiary puppy in New York City
yep.
that he really came back full into favor
was
in the art
Was it peeing
world.
On something or humping something?
Nope.
No.
Just
so
a
it was
huge
completely
puppy.
Desexualized.
Yes.
Wow.
A very happy puppy at Rockefeller Center.
And then, like, they gave him his card back?
Yes.
Wow. Well, was it because of the sexual content of his work, or did people just think, oh, he's just in love with his wife and taking naked pictures of her and calling it art?
Well, I think people thought he went too far, one, because of the pornographic nature of the work, and number two, because they, too, had questions about why that was, in fact, art.
So, but had he done something weird, like, you know, like had a machine shooting yams at her, or like glued little tentacles to her body in the photos? Might that have kind of?
No, it was sweet, sweet love, I believe.
Well, no, but that was my point. Was that he, you know, he fell for the saccharine human sentimentality, of straightforward lovemaking.
Perhaps the earnestness of his work.
Yeah.
Yes. Perhaps that is what got him kicked out of the art world.
So, I mean, surely, I mean, was this like a giant topiary puppy?
Yes.
Especially if there's like some kind of like Bichon Frise or something.
It was, I mean, poodle-esque.
Was this like his like totally ironic attempt to like mock the very people that have rejected him by providing the most like, you know, unobjectionable piece of art possible?
I think that's a very good reading of it.
Thank you.
Indeed. You're very insightful. You're very insightful.
You'll learn that when you know me better.
The DXM is opening your mind, man.
A lot of his work was, in fact, about those very issues of mocking consumer culture, popular culture, and the mass public. So
interesting.
Yes. He's famous for doing sculptures of basketballs suspended in water, which is a popular sort of late 20th century art world cliche.
Wait,
of contemporary art.
Doing a sculpture of a basketball suspended in water, or doing a sculpture that consists of a basketball suspended in water?
The actual basketball suspended in actual water in a fish tank. Yes.
Okay. Did the basketballs float, or did he weight them down somehow?
He somehow got it so that it was perfectly
neutral
in equilibrium, okay. Half in the water, half out.
Mm.
Yes.
I just want to go back to this point of, like, the art world having, like, an official membership. I mean,
yes.
If they have a membership card, you'd think it'd be, like, made out of human skin and, like, tanned with urine and, you know, like...
How do you know it's not?
Well, I'm just...
Well, do you have one? That's our... Well, you must get one at Deck the Walls.
I'm only a junior member.
Oh, to get, like, access to the food court and, like, pass security. You really have to have some kind of card.
Yeah. Discounts.
Discounts at art supply stores. Yeah. It's a membership has its privileges, certainly.
No, so seriously, were you joking, or is there actually like some governing body that, or was it more just like a feeling that Kuntz was, you know, yesterday's news?
I think it was more a feeling.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Although there are official art world measures for that, but I think it was much a feeling.
Okay.
Why are you smacking your lips, DJ? Right.
I'm just thinking of those Greek statues.
I thought you spent in anticipation of getting the little membership card.
Well, that too. And then the sports line guys kind of left their scent on my chair.
Anyways, back to porn stars and art.
Yes.
Annie Sprinkle, who you mentioned before, actually was a porn star at one point.
Yes, indeed. She was a porn star.
Hundreds of movies, I think, even. Like.
Yes.
A lot. Yes. Including movies with Ron Jeremy.
Yes. A very mainstream porn artist, as a matter of fact, and believed that she always would be an artist and an art teacher. And in fact,
is Sprinkle Staging, does it refer to some sort of act, or is it her actual name?
I believe it does, in fact, refer to
a specific act.
Sprinkling or tinkling, perhaps?
Yeah, and no, I can't remember. I think her last name was like...
It keeps coming back to urine, doesn't it?
We're not allowed to say that's sexy. So.
Exactly. So it's clearly not.
What do you mean?
This is the boring talk show.
I mean, well, okay, let's just get it on record. Do you actually find urine sexy? I mean...
But I can't.
Like, I've been peed on
possibly
a few times just as an experiment, but I don't like keep going back to it.
Well, but some people do, and that's probably legitimate, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
I certainly don't want to speak for the general population.
Like, I mean, is the thing that most Americans identify with? Like, ain't nothing sexier than getting tinkled on by
a porn star.
I'm somewhat disturbed that I can't actually verify this in personal experience, but I've heard that. Golden showers are going mainstream, actually. There have been many comments that some of the even more mainstream porno magazines...
Why are you looking at me?
Because I figured out of intellectual curiosity, if anyone would know other than me, it would be you.
No, I think I've actually only heard this from you, that like Penthouse, for example, had some golden shower spread.
If any of you listeners can actually verify this, feel free to give us a call at 412-621-9728. And Penthouse, if you want to send... WRCT subscription so that we can talk about you more on the air again. Feel free.
Absolutely. We're at 1 WRCT Plaza, Carnegie Mellon University.
Indeed, the massive, impossible to miss RCT Plaza at 5000 Forbes Avenue. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15213. There's a whole level of art world wackiness that we haven't gotten to, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when people think of performance art, right?
Yes.
They think of the canonical example. Is
Karen
Finley
stuffing
yams
up her butt, right?
Although I heard
although
that she
never
actually,
happened, no.
She just rubbed them across her butt. She never actually stuffed
she
them.
She just rubbed them on her body, right?
Yeah. Although there have been people who have stuffed objects up their bottoms for the sake of art, indeed.
I mean, was it officially verified by the Art Illuminati that it was for art, or were they just saying it was for art?
Well, I've only seen the photographic evidence, but since it was hung in a gallery, I believe that qualifies as art.
The object that was stuffed up the boat was hung in the
no,
gallery?
No, photographs of said objects stuffed in said bottoms.
So for our listeners who weren't following the art scene in the late 80s, like Karen Finley is one of the NEA four, right?
Yes.
Like these four artists who – the last four artists basically to get personal grants from the NEA – which caused a big hubbub on
yes.
Capitol Hill.
Yes, indeed.
Because although the amounts of money were microscopic, what, $5,000, $20,000?
Well, and oftentimes they were amounts of money given to organizations who happened to have exhibitions or performances of these artists, but the NEA money had no relationship to those activities,
right.
In fact. So they refer to it as a witch hunt, I believe.
Yes, I think that's the yeah, that's the term.
Yes.
But because of the radical, politicized nature of some of these pieces, or because of the unconventional art,
yes.
Like Karen Finley putting
and
food on
yams,
her body
yes.
and the yams. Like,
yes.
Basically, it caused the NEA to be dismantled and made America into the laughingstock of the world.
Mm-hmm. The 22 cent, what was it? The postage stamp per person
right.
each year in funding. Yeah. So I guess Karen Finley would be an example of one of those wacky artists. Of most recent note, someone like Matthew Barney, most famous for in terms of sexual reasons, smearing Vaseline
oh.
into his orifices and dating Bjork, yes.
At the same time?
Yes.
Wow.
But before we get to Bjork, can we step back a second? So it doesn't sound like, so, I mean, you know, someone could approach the idea of, like, sexual performance art, again, you know, as something that celebrates the joy of getting it on, right? I get the sense that, you know, Karen Finley and people like that, that's not what they're about.
Well,
I
think again,
no, they're angry, angry women.
Right, as again, we were saying earlier, it had nothing to do with sex.
Mm-hmm.
Just about yams and butts.
Well, it was. I mean, you can't help but be naked in public without people thinking sex. But it was not. You know, she wasn't doing a piece about. I mean, I'm talking all over you. Sorry, it's
no,
all about you.
I would agree completely.
Like it wasn't
in
about
fact,
her.
Do
like,
do you need a job? I think we're hiring.
No. I can be naked in public and people think disinfectant.
It's only because of the big red itchy rashes you have.
No, I omitted those details on purpose.
I'm telling you, burlap underwear is not good for your skin.
Look, man, I'm working out a sponsorship deal with Gold Bond Powder. It's going to be fine. Carry on.
So, yes, unsexy performance art is definitely a true quality. And someone like Matthew Barney, also not so much about sexiness as about developing a kind of personal mythology, which goes back to Greek and Roman times, goes back to
right.
many kinds of ancient ideas about sexuality as an expression of human.
Can you expand
power.
A little bit on that? What does it mean to develop personal mythology?
Well, Matthew Barney is notoriously cryptic in terms of the kind of references in his work. The Vaseline in the orifices is, in fact, not necessarily supposed to be sexual, although many people read it as such.
You keep saying Vaseline in the orifices. Is there something more there? I mean, like, you know, I don't think a day goes by when I don't have Vaseline in my orifices, but you know,
do you completely clog them up with the Vaseline? With
no, so that's
Vaseline?
What I mean. What, are you talking like the gobs and gobs of
gobs
Vaseline?
And
like
gobs and gobs and
gobs.
Up his ass. Yes. We did.
Like gobs of it?
How much Vaseline are we talking? A quart? A gallon?
Certainly a jumbo
ton.
Quality value size.
Family
we're talking about
yes.
like a whole oil field full of petroleum jelly, like up his back.
Over the total of his career, yes, I think.
Interesting.
But he also,
made out of petroleum.
Like many other performance artists, interested in the idea of endurance, and so his naked physical body, quite buff. Mm-hmm. Traversing with climbing gear up the side walls and ceilings of galleries.
While holding, like...
While smearing Vaseline.
Is he smearing it, or is it like this kind of, like, Sybil kind of scene where he's, like, holding the Vaseline, like, enema style inside his body as long as he can and then just, like, all shoots out all over the audience?
Wait, is that from Sybil?
I don't want to...
Is that Sally Field?
I don't want to spoil Sybil, but there's a reference to Sybil.
You mean the late 90s sitcom starring Sybil Shepherd? Good God, did I miss out.
Tom Wopat? Was that Tom Wopat?
If you haven't seen My Sibyl, she was abused by her mother, of course. I remember that. And one of the things that the mother used to do was give her an enema and make her hold it while she played some song. I don't remember what song it was on the piano, but like.
Oh, and the piano was vibrating against her bladder as well. Wasn't she tied?
Probably,
to the
but if you've
piano,
ever like, yeah. I mean, if you've ever like tried to hold in like quarts and quarts of enema water, it's gonna.
Well, it's difficult. It sounds like a veritable textbook of cruelty.
That's right. You think I have, you know, multiple personalities? You should. Anyway, the point is,
we should try living our childhoods over again while being forced to hold in enemas while listening to the piano.
Right? Exactly, but okay. With Vaseline, not.
I think it was less about holding it in as much as it was about packing it on the surface. Indeed.
So it was about physical endurance, not like enduring the Vaseline.
No, it was about physical endurance and these acts of physical strength and endurance. Many artists are interested in this, demonstrating their prowess through various physical acts like this.
See, now, when you're at Deck the Walls and somebody comes in and says, hey, show me some art, now how do you sell that art to them as good art?
Well, I tell them he dates Bjork.
And they go, who's that?
And then I say Dancer in the Dark.
And they go, I am not one of the 0.002% of the American population that happened to catch that fine Lars von Trier film.
Well, certainly Matthew Barney is not for everyone. Yeah. Indeed. But there are some, you know, lovely still images from his work while he's dressed up in costume as a satyr himself.
Yeah, we should mention that the majority of his work is film. Like yes. He does these hour-long or more films.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
And then sells the sets in... so forth that are used in the film and photographs of the film.
And like, did he do Empire Strikes Back?
Yes, he did. He was the AT-AT number two.
When you say Seder, you're not referring to the timeless family Jewish ritual of celebration. You're referring to
S-A-T-Y-R.
Oh, okay. It's kind of mythological.
The horny goat man of Matthew.
Yes, right. Yes. Matthew Barney likes to be a horny goat man. It's a frequent theme in his
work. Well, it works for Bjork, obviously.
Apparently it does.
If any of our listeners want to catch some of these flicks, what would they be called so they could see them on pay-per-view?
He's known for a cycle of works called Craymaster.
Craymaster.
And Craymaster, perhaps you as a man could tell me what the Craymaster muscle is.
Is it the master of the cray?
No, it's in fact the Craymaster muscle is what I believe holds the testes in, is that correct?
Oh, is it?
Well, much of his work has to do with sexual differentiation, and he's fascinated with the process of how the testes drop in utero to actually make a human being into a male human being.
So the embryological path that separates women from men.
And you're referring to the act of teabagging, as it's called.
Yes.
Okay. I believe this is the teabagging, actually.
Yes. Bring it down to our listeners.
Level.
Isn't there kind of an amusing story? This isn't really sexy, right? An amusing story you have about Bjork's dress that she wore to the Oscars?
This is unconfirmed, of course.
Okay.
But Matthew Barney's wife, whom he met in one of his film shooting experiences, was a bird trainer. And shortly after they broke up, Matthew Barney started dating Bjork. And shortly after that was when she wore the dead swan. To the Grammy Awards, I believe. Many people in the art world saw it as a sign.
That sounds sort of petty. Actually, there's a... we have Bjork's newest album in the station, and it's very good, and there's a swan on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
So she's clearly picked up the swan theme and ran with it.
Indeed.
Are you going to survive over there, DJ Corey? You're looking grayer and grayer.
I don't know. I need another hit of NyQuil.
How about another nice frosty enema?
So, like, if you were my...
No, we'd make them hold it to the show's
hold
over.
Hold it.
I mean, if you were my faculty... I mean, I don't know, understand, like, how things in art are evaluated, but if you were my faculty advisor and I came to you and I said, look, I want my senior thesis to be about, like, holding in, like, a Vaseline enema as long as I can and then squirting it all over the audience, would you be like... What would you say? It would be like, you know, summa cum laude, baby.
Perhaps. Of course, I would have to ask you to relate it to French philosophy or structuralist theory. And if you could, then perhaps summa cum laude.
That's not very sexy.
In past work, and of course, you'd have to have a
you'd
big
have to
body
have a
theory.
Reason. What would your reason be for holding
what it? What does it say?
He holds the audience in contempt.
Trauma.
No, I think what I would say is, like, you know, I would say, you know, your attempt to impose your, like, whole rationality on my art just, like, destroys the whole intuitive nature of it. I mean, like, you know, you can never understand my enema-based art if you, like, intend to.
I think our professor has heard that so many thousands upon thousands of times. Maybe not in terms of enema-based art. They'd have some pre-formulated smackdown.
Enema-marked.
Perhaps a chain of stores.
I think. The enema.
This is your opportunity. This is your opportunity to break from the tyranny of Deck the Walls.
Deck the Walls.
My apologies, Deck the Walls, and establish your own art chain of enema-based art stores.
I should seize the day.
Oh, it's like that. It's like that ceramic store. Is that where you make your own ceramics?
Yes.
Make your own enema.
They give you an enema with latex paint and let you fly against some canvas.
Brilliant, brilliant. Yeah. I think we need to patent this.
Yes, so I think we could maybe arrange some VC. I think we could get a nationwide.
Oh, indeed. On a related note, I've been increasingly fascinated with the people who tie concepts of art and plastic surgery together, right? So
yes.
A woman we've talked about on the show repeatedly is Jocelyn Wildenstein, who I don't know counts as an artist, but certainly in my book, what she's
but
trying
she
to do.
But she's an artwork, I think.
Yeah.
Yes.
Actually, you probably know more about this than I do.
She's the ex-wife of some super wealthy, like, billionaire banker.
Is she a socialite?
And art
yes,
dealer.
Yes, and socialist, and art dealer, yes.
Yes.
And who is, over the last 15 years, I think, has been altering herself with plastic surgery to look like a jungle cat. I think a panther or something.
I'm not sure that was her intention. I think no, it's just a consequence.
No, it literally was her intention. She wants to look like a cat. I mean, she has her cheeks puffed out,
mm-hmm.
Eyes brought back.
See, but again, you know, I'm sort of sad that she picked a cute animal. Like, I would have a lot more respect for her if she was going after, like, a Shar Pei or, like, an iguana.
Well,
know,
then you probably want to talk about Orlan,
yes.
Who is a legitimate artist.
Yes, a legitimate artist who uses plastic surgery as her medium. And, in fact, choreographs entire scenes where she dresses her plastic surgeons up in sort of like sixth grade equivalent to Star Wars costumes and recites really bad poetry while they perform plastic surgery on her.
Okay, what kind of plastic surgery and?
All different kinds of body modification.
She's had horns implanted in her head,
yeah, she's
right?
had horns implanted in her head, and also she's had various kinds of implants to change the shape of her brows. She's had lots of facial surgery, but also body surgery, in order to, in some ways, exaggerate certain characteristics of her body to match famous artwork. She's done series where she tries to actually change her body to look like famous artwork.
Does she,
artwork.
Like, for example, balloon out and then balloon back in? Or no, I mean, I'm just talking, like, does she change herself one way and then change herself back?
There have been modifications and remodifications, yes. Not that extreme,
oh.
But yes. I think it might be like, wasn't there a woman who was trying to make herself look like Barbie as well through 16 or 17
oh,
consecutive
God,
surgeries?
Yeah, I can't remember her name, though, yes.
Yeah, but I don't think she's an artist.
I thought she was trying to look like Dom DeLuise.
Well, that's what she ended up having to settle for.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Clearly she failed, but...
As we learned in the cinematic opus Escape from L.A., after so much plastic surgery, the muscles just dissolve into jelly in you.
Indeed.
End up turning into a horrific dystopian punk rock freak.
And you have to feed on other people's body parts as well.
Yes.
This whole line of discussion is made, DJ Corey Retchin discussed. Perhaps it's very intrigued, sexy discussed, but I don't know. So clearly, like, humanity's ability to manipulate its own flesh is only going to increase over time, barring some sort of
Indeed.
Massive Stone Age collapse. Like, where do you see it going?
Well, there are several artists who are already looking into the possibility of robotics.
Stellark.
Yes, Stellark. Indeed, as an extension of the human body or a, I guess, surrogate for the human body. And also many artists who are using technology for remote sex and things like that. So I think that it will only lead to a sexier and better future.
You mean like phone sex or cyber sex? Or
teledildonics?
No, weren't there in fact people here who did
yes.
remote sensing?
We're trying to do some remote
cognitive field
stuff, yeah.
through robotics.
Yep.
Yes. It seems like an awful lot of work for, you know, such a small payoff in the end.
Well, you've summed up, you know, 20 years of my relationship history.
Well, but I mean, you know, no matter how clumsy the first attempts may, you know, I mean, like, it was an awful lot of work to go 100 yards for the Wright brothers as well, right? And
yes.
Yet that was a step that needed to be taken, you know?
Yeah, so maybe within 50 years we'll have kind of the supersonic jumbo jet of teledildonics to to enjoy.
I wonder what that would look like. Would it look like a supersonic jumbo jet?
But very small.
Wait, it couldn't be too small.
Just big enough.
Exactly.
So, although those pieces of work, they were explicitly about sex. Actually, they were more comments on like technology and what it will do to sex. Mm-hmm. They weren't sort of angry political.
No, not all
not
work about
angry,
sex
but, yeah.
is angry.
It's not.
No.
Is it sort
not
of sad
all sex
and melancholy?
Is angry? You know, in the way that sex it can be angry,
why
can be sweet.
I beg to
differ. Why did anybody give me this pamphlet that you guys seem to have all read?
I can't explain. But I think there are all moods to artwork that deals with sexuality. There's also, just to cap things off, more confessional modes where people actually do get on stage and recount their sexual escapades and make artworks that, in fact, detail, for example, every person they've ever slept with.
Are they called sexcapades?
Tracy Emin.
Sexcapades, yes. Tracy Emin, one of the oh-so-famous young British artists who are as famous for their artworks as for sleeping with each other. And she, in fact, made a tent where she embroidered the names of every man she'd ever slept with.
How was it? Was it like a giant family-sized tent or like a little pup tent?
I think there were only like 30 or 40 names, right?
No, over 100.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
She's been busy.
Over 100, man. Yeah, yeah. She gets around, indeed.
She does.
So that leads us to what should probably be our final question, but if you're looking for lots of good hot sex, is the art world the great place to go?
Yes.
Okay.
Artists have a lot of sex.
With that, we should probably
And Tracy Emin was pretty cute, so.
Yeah, she is hot.
She gets the Dr. Sexopoulos seal of approval. Dr. Sexopoulos, will you take us out? Or DJ Corey, will you take us out?
I do want to say, let me just do this. You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh.
We have to say that.
But I will let one of your two like art experts take us out. I mean, I would like to say, you know, as a seasoned radio professional, I thought this would be the perfect venue to like get a lot of sex and yet educate my listening public, and that hasn't happened.
The show in general?
Neither A nor B.
I'm not sure it's fair to place the crushing burden of 5 years of your disappointed life on the shoulder of our guest to answer in 15 seconds.
Yes.
I could be wrong.
Yes, I think many people seek the same...
slippery solace?
Yes, in the world of art.
I mean,
find the same disappointment.
I originally turned to computer science for sex.
I mean, do people like high school students hearing about like all the cool art classes that they can take where they can like put their penis in a box and masturbate for the rest of their class, thinking that'll get them like thinking how cool that is and all the sex that's going to get them?
Well, I think more kids on that level, the high school kids think more about the live nude models in their drawing classes.
Mm. Little do they know they're all like hairy hippies.
Yes, little do they know they're old women. Yes. But there is always the potential as a young artist to ask the female or male of your choice to sit for you, which, of course, is an incredible aphrodisiac.
So. Although that doesn't work if you're Matthew Barney and your art consists of smearing yourself in Vaseline and hanging on the floor.
It worked. I mean, he's dating
Bjork. Worked with Bjork.
So I guess on that note, DJ Corey?
I guess we
don't have to be done if you'd like to continue
your quill-loaded ramblings.
I don't know. I guess Andrew's probably here waiting to bring us to the next level of the musical experience. But I would like to say, Dr.
Thrustmore.
Lady Thrustmore.
Lady Thrustmore, it's been a delight having you here. I will remember you in my fevered dreams tonight. Thank you all for listening. Tune in next week, Tuesday at 11. Keep it real.